Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 20th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Very truly I tell you, you will not weep and mourn, but the world you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for the many ways you've touched our world, even in these seemingly dire times of tragedy and hurt and pain and suffering. But we ask, Lord, that you confirm with us that you are present in our lives, that we see you in so many different ways, in the healing and wholeness, and the bringing us together as your people. We ask you send your spirit upon us this day and grant me the words that I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you've prepared for our lives. We ask these many things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we can almost breathe a sigh of relief. Everybody. We're almost through Revelation, but one more day. You've got to put up with me this one more time. But where have we been, and how did we get here? It was 5 weeks ago that we started with Revelations 4 and 5, Christ's glory. God was on the throne. The world was not spinning out of control then, and everything was in place. And we might think that the world's spinning out of control today. But the God of our love, the God of our fathers, our Lord, is in control. Then we went to chapter 6, and we heard about the seven seals of judgment. And then we jumped to chapter 13 and heard about the two beasts and their power and destruction and the harm they brought upon his world. And now we're in chapters 21 and 22, where God is making all things new, and there's a river of life still running through everything we know. Take a moment and think about the devastation, the hurt, the hardships, your worst days, your worst fears, your anxiety, your hurt. You have that picture in your mind? When our world was upside down and we didn't think anybody was in control and life was just on the brink of not wanting to live anymore. We've all had those days. We've all had fears with our kids being out of control or out of place or not where they should be. We've all lost loved ones. We all may have experienced the terrors of a fire or of a flood or of not having a homeland or not having a family or not hearing what we wanted to hear from our doctors. Or a pain so great that we weren't sure we could make it through. And yet here we are today. Maybe still in the pain, maybe still in the suffering, maybe still in the anguish, but here we are today. And that same God that called into the world, the being, the life that we live, is present with us today. And I heard in your prayer requests care and concern for the sake of others, for the sake of ourselves. There's an awful lot of people in our world today that are suffering all different kinds of pain and torture and turmoil and torment. Sometimes I listen to people talking about the flood we had here in Pittsburgh. And I look at the images and think, we don't have a clue what a flood is like. We hear big portions of our world that don't have clean water to drink. And now it's a portion of that is our own homeland in New Orleans, where there's no water, no power, no refuge from the heat. And yet we think we've got it bad here. Or we think it's bad in our lives. We hear the God that comes to us today and cares for us and nurtures us. How long, O Lord? You can almost hear the prophets declare and cry out, when? How long? When is the end going to come? When are you going to come again? When is life going to go back to whatever normal is that we find? And I think too often we lose sight of the fact that it's here now. That it's present with us, and even in the midst of our despair and hurt and turmoil, that God is present, caring and nurturing each of us as individuals, and us collectively as the body of Christ we call Plum. Because God is ever present and there with us now. How's he present? He'll be present in these wafers, or whatever bread we have. He's present here in his word. As he declares it to us and sends us and loves us and nurtures us. For we are the body of Christ for the world. We are the people of God who have been claimed and strengthened and given opportunities to be the presence of Christ for so many that are suffering so much more than we at our worst times. And we don't need major floods and disasters for that to be real. We have members of our congregations that are sitting alone, and we could be their daylight, their star, their hope, just in making a phone call or a brief visit or writing a card. But the thing that upsets me or concerns me the most is that we have to wear face masks. How's that for a claim? We should wear face masks. But do we want to? Or should we do it for the least of one of these, the little children in our midst? We claim to be those people of God that are present ever here in our world. And so often we lose sight of our responsibility for those that are coming after us. And I know it's a concern for all of us because I hear it from you. I hear a concern for those that are around us and those that are within our congregations and those that have needs. But here's what I experienced yesterday. I had a funeral yesterday at 3:30. It was from an ex-member of the church here in Duquesne. And the lady had 32 great-grandchildren. And I don't know that I've ever seen one of them in church. As we were praying the prayers of the Lord's Prayer or saying the words of the Apostles' Creed, they didn't have a clue who I was talking about. And it pushes me, it takes me back to sitting back and saying, well, where did we listen to? Where did we hear? What did we understand when we first heard those words? Or where were we? Where was I? Could have been a church camp. It was probably in Sunday school. Or maybe around a dinner table with my parents and grandparents. As we prayed the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just those powerful words that declare that God is still in control. And these kids are fighting the world's battles without the confidence or understanding that there's anything happening other than their own messes. What happens if we take seriously these chapters of Revelation that starts off with the tree of life that we hear about and the river of life that we hear about, the river running through God's kingdom, and experience God's grace now to be his people, his body, his presence? We use these words all the time. But how are our kids going to know anything about God if we aren't telling his stories? And in reality, I'm not just talking about the strangers in our midst, the neighborhood kids that are up and down our streets, and many of our family situations. I'm talking about our grandkids. I'm talking about those that we love and hold dearest. We ask you to share God's sightings, or in some congregations we call them testimonies, of how God's working and preparing us and being a part of our world and touching our lives. And I say that, and we all feel like we've got stage fright or we're struck dumb. We don't have a clue what we can say. Where do we see God today? Is it that bad that we might not have a powerful statement of God healing? But haven't we seen him walking in our presence? The times he pulls us back from the curb, the time he protects us from the floods, the time the lightning didn't strike, or the physical report from our doctors wasn't traumatic, where there's food in our cupboards, water running out of our faucets, energy in our bones, even amidst the aches and pains. What happens if everyday life we don't see God touching our worlds? We don't articulate it and share that story? Then everyone just thinks they're all on the same page. Everything's just like they have happening in their worlds. Did you ever notice that the news media, anytime they're interviewing somebody or dealing with a sensitive subject, they get two people on one side of the subject and they get the same number of people on the other side of the subject? So it sounds like everything's in balance. There is so much more good happening in our world today than there is bad. Every time there's a storm and a disaster that strikes, there are people that are helping and caring and nurturing those for whom the disaster has hit. One person gets sick in our congregations, and we pray for them, and a multitude of prayers go up. You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones that are sharing God's message of care and concern with so many. And yet we take it for granted. We lose sight of the fact that as we gather together as God's people, the power of the church isn't in our numbers. It's in God's spirit. It's in the spirit that he gives us to be his presence in the world. And if we're silent, then the world doesn't know that it's his presence. If we aren't reaching out, then people around us don't know that we're caring. If we remain silent, then all the people around us that are looking for answers assume there are none. And our youth are looking for us to be their light and their strength, and their wholeness. And if we're silent and don't share that God's present with us, even in the midst of the storms, then they're fighting their battles alone. But you know, the good news is, in the midst of it all, we can say Christ is present. We can say he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We can use all the church language we want. But as we hear in today's lesson at the end of the book of Revelation, that river, that tree of life, that river that's flowing through from the Revelation story out into eternity, we're going to start next Sunday, never guess where. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was a tree of life there and a tree of knowledge, and God was ever present in the beginning in the creation. So believe it or not, he's going to give us all another chance. He's going to give us all an opportunity to be strengthened again. He's going to give us an opportunity to go out into our worlds and be those that declare his presence in a world that so desperately needs to experience his grace. He's with us always. We know that. We declare it. We're here to hear those words. But if we aren't sharing the stories, then all we're doing is refilling our sponges. Instead of using those energies and blessings and gifts that God gives us for the healing of his world. There's so many issues out there that we all could fight, could all raise up, could all support. I'm encouraging all of us to pick one. To pick one person that you want to reach out to this week and just let them know that we celebrate a God who's a God of forgiveness and love and healing. For we can say all the words. We can say God is good, God is great. We can say our prayers all to ourselves. But if others don't know the presence of Christ is there for them too, we miss a great opportunity to be the body of Christ together. May we as God's people, looking to the future, be willing and able to declare the presence of Christ, not just with our actions, but our words, because they matter. And we live in a time and in a place where words matter so much, but most of them are all tearing people apart. May we be those people that bring people together in the name of God, because that's why Christ comes into the world. And that's why you're going to hear Pastor Paul say, in the night in which he was betrayed, Christ took his body and gave it to each of us, that we might be the bread of life for the world. God's blessings on us all as we look to the new world, the new day, the new future, which starts now. Amen.